Heavenly Father, we come to your Son once again because he has the words of life. In him is also the life-giving Spirit. Be present with us as we listen to receive from you what we need to hear for our lives. Amen. I'm wondering if you can think of something, a new product that has come along that has changed how you live. Something new that has come into your life that changes the choices you make. If there's any music fans out here who collect, and maybe you've gone from vinyl, maybe we can go back a bit further. We'll start with vinyl, though. Vinyl to 8-tracks, to tapes, to CDs, and now music can be downloaded. You can download digital copies. Each one of those changes represents a change. And to some degree, some people still have listened to records. They still have vinyl albums. They prefer that over digital music. Or maybe you like apples. I go to the Apple grocery store, and there's all these different varieties. And every once in a while, a new one comes along. Well, it doesn't really replace the other apples. You choose one, you choose the other based on your taste. You have maybe pros and cons over which one you like and which one you don't. But sometimes something new comes along that makes the previous thing obsolete. So maybe you need a new washing machine for your clothes, and you go to the store, and there's all these brands to choose from. You could top load, front load. But one of the options isn't going to be a washing board. Those days are done. Nobody says, well, consider maybe for your family, this is the choice you would prefer. Or when we go to buy a new phone, they're not offering us a machine to send telegrams or carrier pigeons anymore. Mobile phones, landlines have rendered the old technology obsolete in a way that it's unfathomable that we would consider going back. It's not merely a matter of preference. The new technology has made the old technology obsolete. Wondering if Glenn would be here, I'd say, you can choose between a Subaru and a Kia. Clearly, we'd say Subaru, I suppose. But nobody's going to try and sell you a horse and buggy in Regina. A new product can come along, and it's like judgment day for all the products in that area. All the things that exist are no longer of any use. No one has to force you to toss them out. Everyone just does that. They create an expectation. They create opportunities that were not there before. And to go back to what used to be would mean to give up so much that has been gained and really a better life. But there is still some continuity. So while we might not choose the horse and buggy, we would choose a Kia or a Subaru, still the underlying principle is that we wish to get somewhere. There's continuity. There's an affirmation that getting places efficiently, more efficiently than walking is somewhat useful sometimes. When Jesus appeared to his disciples behind locked doors after he had been buried, this was something new. Jesus was unveiling a new kind of life, eternal life, by living it himself. Every year there are car shows and the future models are presented. They're not ready yet for production. They're there just to tease you, to give you a sense of what's coming in the future. Jesus was God's unveiling of eternal life within human history to give us a vision of the world that is coming and the new life that is coming. It's easy to mistake eternal life for life after death that goes on and on and on. But that is not it at all. Eternal life is a complete life, a wholeness that God intends for humanity. Eternal life is what we choose to live or not, choose not to live today. Eternal life is the promise that the Hebrew ancestors received. Eternal life is what the Psalms are praying for and longing for. Eternal life is what the prophets were dreaming about. And 1 John, we heard read for us this morning. 1 John says this: "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ." I want to look at three ways that Jesus, this new life that comes to us through Jesus, is more whole, more substantial, more real than the old life. And because it is so substantial and whole and real, the old life, the old way of doing things, will inevitably fade and pass away. And only the eternal life that God has brought about through Jesus Christ is going to endure. First of all, the resurrected Jesus is physically whole. After Friday's horrific news of the bus accident north of Humboldt, there's not much more that we need to say to point out how horrific, how awful death is. 15 people so far, most of them young men, dead, several more seriously injured. All of us, in some way or another on the prairies, are in pain as we think of the families and the communities affected. God calls death the enemy. Death is not our friend. Death only comes to steal and to destroy. From the moment of conception, the old life is vulnerable to illness and death. As we age, we grow weaker, our energy declines, and in the end, we all die. We return to dust, and soon there is nothing left of us. Soon, even the memory of us is forgotten. And it's not just our bodies. It's the whole old world itself. It's under the control of decay. Or, as Paul puts it in the letter to the Romans, creation has been subject to frustration. As humanity, as human beings, we are creative, we're bright, and so we've tried to come up with different solutions. Some of them are philosophical. We've tried to imagine that we will leave this world behind and that we become some sort of spirit on our death. Or we turn to technology. Look online to read about how the billionaires in Silicon Valley really expect that we will be able to merge our bodies and our minds with robots and machines, and in this way extend our life. And since the Enlightenment, we've been counting on advances in medicine to save us. Compare these human solutions with the resurrection. Jesus was raised with a physical body. He could be seen and touched and heard. We heard in John that he breathed on his disciples. He ate with them. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an affirmation of our physical bodies and this physical world. Jesus was raised, though, with a life, with a body that would never suffer illness or death ever again. Eternal life, then, is a restoration, on the one hand, of the physical, and yet a transformation, the introduction of something new as well. The other hopes and plans, all of those, will fade away in the light of that promise of God. They will be forgotten. They cannot compete with what God has done through Jesus Christ. And this is why, as Christians, when we lose someone we love, we grieve, but not without hope. This is why, as Christians, we respect our bodies and we respect creation. We care for both of them, knowing that Jesus Christ is going to, or God is going to, raise our bodies back to life. This is why in funerals, the focus of the message is always the hope of the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ to earth. Secondly, Jesus is spiritually whole. In the old life, God's identity, God's presence on earth, God's presence in our lives is uncertain. Many people want to know God, but doubt their experience of God, doubt their knowledge of God. Many sense an emptiness and a loneliness in our culture. One solution is to say that no one can know what is true for sure, and simply to affirm everything, every spiritual idea, as being true. And as long as we restrict those claims to the spiritual, to the metaphysical, as long as we don't make any claims that affect morality or ethics, as long as we don't make any claims about history, either the past or what is coming, then there is not really any room to argue. But the documents that have come down to us through history describe Jesus as resurrected in a body that united the spiritual and the physical. He seemed to be able to move between heaven and earth, appearing and disappearing as he chose. The disciples didn't understand it. I don't understand it. But that is the eyewitness testimony. God is indeed near every person. But eternal life is the promise of an even greater gift, union with God. As Jesus told his disciples on the day of resurrection, receive the Holy Spirit. This is surely meant to bring us back to Genesis chapter 2, in the very beginning, when the Lord God formed humanity from the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. As Paul writes, the first man, Adam, became a living being, but the last Adam, Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. Other ideas, other philosophies simply cannot compete with the wholeness that is presented to us in Jesus Christ. They are less complete. They are less substantial. And as Christians, because of the vision, the picture, the life that God, Jesus has presented to us, we strive to know God day after day. We work hard to become more and more aware of God's presence in our lives. We work to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to discern what God wants us to do. As Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know the Father. Thirdly, Jesus is morally whole. Our old life was run by passions. In our old life, we struggle to have a moral vision of our world so that we can say what is right and what is wrong. Our communities are increasingly torn apart in the West because we have no means of reconciling competing ethics. But Jesus presents the solution, that our desire ought to be his desire. Our desire ought to be to serve God. Instead, as a solution to our pain and our confusion, we often trade what is whole and substantial for immediate gratification. We trade long, deep relationships for sex. We trade principles for cash. We trade reconciliation with one another for revenge. We trade prayer for entertainment and escape. And in each case, and in many more, something longer lasting, something whole, something that would feed us and satisfy us deeply, is traded for something short-lived, ephemeral, something that satisfies us only in the moment and is soon forgotten. One of those pathways leads to health, and the other pathway leads to addiction and transforms a human being in the end to something that is just a caricature of a human. The person who is initially only bitter, occasionally, in the end, can have nothing positive to say. The person in the beginning who dallies with sex here and there with different people, in the end, is consumed by it and is never satisfied by it. The joy that was meant to be there is lost. What was more real and substantial was traded for something less real and substantial. But the resurrection is the proof that God is forgiving humanity and reaching out to offer it a new way, a way to life, a better way, a more substantial way, and the old way will pass away. And so as Christians, we practice daily confession. We work to feel remorse for the ways that we have hurt others and failed God. We develop contrition and humility. Preaching about the kingdom and about Jesus becomes an affirmation that there is indeed right and wrong in this world. There is the promise of a good life, but tied to it is a warning that another road leads to death. As I alluded to in the children's moment, all of this talk about wholeness comes back to the words of Jesus, the first words of Jesus to his disciples, shalom, peace. In a simple way, it could be him saying, hi. But shalom in the Old Testament indeed touches on a wholeness of life. Jesus came back to his life. He went to his friends. He was whole in all the ways that I've described and even more. And three times he said to them, shalom to you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Once something is obsolete, you don't need to force people to stop using it. It is tossed out. God has presented a new life that makes the old life obsolete. In the end, God is not going to have to force anyone. The old life will vanish like morning mist in the sun. We are reminding ourselves of all of this, as John writes, so that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing we may have life in his name. And this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So presented with this picture of wholeness, physically, spiritually, morally, do you have the Son? Are you living in union with Jesus Christ? If you want to know more about that, speak with one of the pastors or the deacons or a friend who could help you with that question. But if you would say that you do have the Son, that you are living in union with Jesus, understand that with this gift comes the calling. As the Father sent me, said Jesus, so I am sending you. Go and share this hopeful news. The world, the people in the world are confused as they cling to this old way of life that does not satisfy. They long for more. And we have good news to share with them. Wholeness in Jesus Christ. Amen.